All right, so certainly there one thing we like to mention when we're talking about the country of Burma is it's kind of a country with two names. Burma and Myanmar. Myanmar's a little bit more modern, and a couple decades ago there was a move to shake off the colonial names of the country, and so just about every city got renamed, and so whether it's the capital city, the largest city, the name of the country itself, one of the confusing novelties about the country is it's two names for everything, the country itself being one of those. As was mentioned in the video there, I just want to pause and just point out the fact that really I'm grateful for, Jennifer, I talk about this a lot, the families that we were raised in, that had an emphasis on missions in them. I remember very vividly four or five times my dad would be gone for a couple weeks. And where was he at? He was he owned his own business, a car repair business. It was very difficult for him to get away. But when he did, four or five times, it was to go with my pastor to the Philippines. And we had a missionary from our church that we'd sent out directly from our church, and he was a very special missionary to us, and they would go visit him. And boy, we'd be excited for Dad to come back and tell us what he found, what he saw, the pictures that he saw, and what he learned about the Philippines. He loved the Philippines, and often prayed as a layman for many years that if it be the Lord's will, that God would allow him to go to the Philippines as a missionary, but he never did, but he was a faithful supporter of the work there, and our church had a good time raising money, and I see the globes down here. It's a great idea. Our church, what we did, the missionaries that we were from our church, their last name was Deem, and so the church got a hold of these coin envelopes that held $6 worth of dimes, and so our effort for many years was dimes for Deems. So every time that we saw a dime, we knew that it went into that coin envelope. And when we filled 60 of those up, we completed that envelope. It was going to be $6 to give to the Deems as a part of one of the offerings for the year. So it was a great effort, and it kept missions before us all the time. Every single time we saw a dime, we thought about those missionaries. And so I was mentioning this to Brother Hardecker recently when he was through, and he just asked if I would go ahead and throw this out to you all. Since Dimes for Deems seems to be alliterated well, his suggestion for you as a church was hundreds for Hardeckers. And so I told him I would mention it, but I didn't want to offer any guarantees about how that would go over. And how many envelopes would be filled, but it's worth a try. All of us are thinking, I'd love if I even saw 100 sometime. I mean, that would be miraculous in and of itself. So anyway, Brother Hardecker, that was my plug for him, for what it's worth. So, boy, just that mission spirit that that my dad had, and boy, he was all behind that. When I went to college there in 1990, I was so blessed by the missionaries that came through and taught, and the Iron Curtain had just fallen, and a great opportunity during those days to get into Eastern Europe, and I was so inspired. I called my dad, I think halfway through my first year, I said, Dad, these missionaries are coming through. They're talking about the great need that is right now in these Eastern Bloc countries. I said, is there any possible way that this summer maybe you and I could go on a trip to see one of those countries? It was a long shot. I'll never forget that phone call. He said, our pastor preached Sunday night this, if your kid ever really wants to express an interest to go on a missions trip, do whatever you can to make that happen. And so the short story is that summer, my dad and my pastor and myself went on a trip to Hungary and to Romania. The Lord's not called me there, but Romania has affected me. That trip affected me in many ways. And so grateful for a father that had that as a priority in the home, as opposed to what maybe other things could have been. And when I met Jennifer and her folks, then she was the youngest, and her going off to college meant they were empty nesters. But very frequently, when we would talk with them, they would say, well, we now have the so-and-so missionary family staying with us for the next 6 months. They're going to use our house as their base of operations while they're on their furlough. That happened over and over and over and over again. And I just kind of made a mental note there and an observation. What a wonderful way to use, that they found to use their house as empty nesters rather than just having those rooms empty and maybe being a little nostalgic about what was in those rooms, turn it into a little bit of a missionary headquarters, and that's what it was for many years. And then during their empty nester years, they also made it a goal to personally go to each field that their missions field that their church had missionaries at. And so we'd also call them up. How are y'all doing? Well, in a couple weeks, we're off to Uganda to see the Hamiltons. In a few weeks, we're going off to Australia to see the Halls. And through the course of their years, that was their goal. And they as, again, in their empty nester years, I think wisely invested that. They had the ability to do it, but they were very concerned about missions. And so that was also a big influence in our lives, and we're grateful, very grateful for that. One of the courses the Lord's allowed me to teach at the college is Baptist history. And years ago, sat in some courses with Don Jasmine, and he kind of inspired me in the way of taking Baptist history and looking at it primarily through the men and the women rather than dates and events. And so in so doing, when we get to missions history for the Baptists, one main name is Adoniram Judson. And so for the last 15, 16 years, when I come to that topic of Baptist history and reading about his life and his family and his sacrifice and his translation work and his persistence and his determination and his love for people and what it cost him, that testimony just resonated with me and still does to this day. And Burma being the place of his labor, reading about his co-workers, George Dana Boardman, who turned down the presidency of a well-known college in Maine in order to go with his wife to the mission field. And George Boardman died at the age of 31, and he left behind a widow who would become Adoniram Judson's second wife after his first wife passed away. The great sacrifice that these men and women and children made through their labors there in this country. About a little more than 3 years ago, I was able to do what my dad did with me, and that's take my oldest son on a trip to Burma. He and I would be together for about 8 or 9 days, and from there, he extended his time. I had to come back, but he extended his time for about 3 more weeks, what they spent with the Hardeckers there in the Philippines. It was a wonderful trip for them, but our time together in Burma was very blessed. 3 years ago, there was a lot of freedom to move about the country. That is, in this present situation that they're under now, is not as much. But we were able to move about the country and go to see some notable Baptist history sites from the Judson family, one of which still is very memorable for me is standing at the place where Adoniram Judson spent 18 months in what we would call a death prison during the first Burmese British War, 1824 to 1826. And his wife, Anne, had moved nearby that prison and really with her tireless labors just kept him alive during that time. And each day one prisoner was taken out and shot. They were in a what we'd think kind of like a windowless, no airflow type, but dormitory was their prison filled with rats and vermin. And 18 months he endured that. And then when he was finally released, he had some more responsibilities to attend to, translation work for the government to finish up before he could be totally free. And during that time, in his absence, his wife passed away. And standing in that spot and just remembering the price that was paid by him and his wife, it was very sobering thing to see. Later on that trip, we went down to the largest city, Yangon, at the time. In Judson's day, it would have been called Rangoon. About 8 million people there in that city, and we met with a national pastor. His name's pronounced Tong. Pastor Tong and his family met. We talked for a while there. At this time, there was several efforts to take evangelistic campaigns into Burma 3-4 years ago, and they were very successful. A lot of crowds came, and a lot of good was done. But they came, and then they went. Folks came, and then they went back home. I vividly remember Pastor Tong looking across the table at us and saying, "Brother, we're happy for those that come, but we desperately need somebody or some people to come and stay. That's what we need." I think that's the heart cry of probably any ministry, churches. We just like some people to come and put down roots and be faithful. So I came back from that trip with a lot of things on my heart, but one of the things that I talked to my wife about right away was we've got to do something with this window of opportunity that's presented itself right now in the country of Myanmar. Starting in 1962, they were under a dictatorship that failed miserably, really shut themselves off from the rest of the world. That changed in the mid to late 80s when the military took control of the government, and that was not much more successful. But in the 2014 to about 20 till COVID, there was about a 6-year window when they had a freedom promoting prime minister beloved by the country, and things were free. Visas for tourists were open. Missions was talked about, and during this time that we were there for the first time, and we came back home. So we've got to do something, and so we talked with our pastor and came up with a plan, and we put together the plans for a 3-week missions trip. Now, the first 3 weeks of August 2020 was the plan, and we had got together costs and ticket prices, and even had a T-shirt designed to be prepared for our team to go over and wear together, and a number of the young men from college expressed interest in that. Some had signed up for it. We're excited about this great possibility of seeing a country that was newly opened, that was open to the gospel, as far as there's freedom to share the gospel, and then to see some great Baptist history sites and trying to inspire some young men in this effort. We're very excited about that. And then, of course, we all know what happened in March of 2020. And all of those plans to take a group of young men over and see someone else inspired to go to that mission field came to a halt. But as for many of us, COVID slowed us down a little bit. Slowed me down a little bit. It gave us just a little bit more time. Highly frustrated, yes, but gave me just a little bit more time than I normally would have had. It was really during that time that through a series of times in prayer, number one, number two, reading my Bible, and not to be diminished sermons, that the Lord solidified in my heart the call to go to Burma, that it was not for someone else, that it was for me. And I talked to my wife about that, and thanked the Lord for a good wife. It's a big move. It's a different move. It is leaving family, but we have a wonderful Lord and a wonderful opportunity, and our time on earth is short, and our time to fellowship together in heaven is eternal. And so we keep that in mind as well. And so we made a second visit, my wife and I did, here in May. We had about a 2-week window where we could go, and we were waiting and hoping that there was a long delay in them letting visitors back into Burma. It hadn't happened since the start of COVID because COVID came, and then about a year later, the military faction of government rose up and ousted the prime minister, put her into house arrest, and took heavy-handed control of the government, and very forcibly stifled any protest against them. You can read about what's taken place in that in news and see. And so the bright future, the anticipation of hope that were on people's faces when we were there in 19 is not there right now. When we were able to visit for just about 3 days in mid-May. We spent some time in Thailand and saw some missionaries that are on the borderlands up in northern Thailand, where there's a lot of Burmese that are across the border now. We saw a city where about 400,000 Burmese have migrated into Thailand to try to seek out a better life, and their better life is processing the seafood on the seashore in Thailand, one of the lowest level jobs that Thailand offers. But compared to what's available in Burma now, it's great for them, so they're trying to stay there. And then a quick trip up to Siem Reap to see the Shraks as well. An interesting part of the world, Southeast Asia. From Bangkok, an hour flight to the main city of Burma, an hour flight to Cambodia, and just about 4 hours or so only to the Philippines even. So it's a unique part of the world, a needy part of the world. We were blessed to spend some time there in May and to once again meet up with Pastor and Mrs. And Tong and to get some plans for what lies ahead. We're grateful that he has a ministry that we can start out at while we learn the language. They rate languages on a scale of 1 to 5, 1 easy, 5 hardest, as far as where they fall, as far as the amount of time that it takes to learn them. So Burmese is not 5, it's 4. It's not the hardest, but it's one step down from there. It's a tonal language, and it's got a funny-looking script. We trust the Lord for his mercy and help as we work to learn that language. While serving, and we're so grateful for this, in an active, independent local church pastored by National Pastor Tong. So when Adoniram Judson landed in Burma in 1812, there were 0 missionaries. He was the first in Burma at that time, the only one in Burma at that time. A couple others had come briefly and left. When he passed away, there were 276 Baptist missionaries in Burma. Well, 276 has now once again declined down to just a mere handful. And so while the missionary force has peaked and then drastically declined, as is the case with all the world, the population has expanded. So I'm not going to surprise you by telling you that the need in Burma is greater now than ever, and I also understand that the need in America and any other of the nations of the world is greater now than ever. And so we came back and have a place to go to and visas that we can get in on, which is also another great answer to prayer. A few weeks after we were back, we got a phone call from Jennifer's uncle. He's 85 years old. Lives in Roanoke, Virginia. He said, I heard something, Jennifer, from your mom. Can you tell me a little bit about Burma? So we told him what the Lord had laid on our heart, what our plans were. He got quiet on the other end. And he was tearing up. He said, well, I'm going to tell you something that you might not believe. He said, a young man that was in our church years ago, in the youth group, grew up and went for a time to Burma as a missionary. say not our stripe, but nonetheless, he went there as a missionary. And he was forced to go out. He had young children, and when the coup hit, very difficult, dangerous in a sense, I guess you'd say. So he's back out now. He said, but we meet together once a week, and we pray for the largest city in the country, which is Yangon. It's divided up into 45 provinces. We have a list of those provinces. We have their names. We have their needs. And we pray together that God would do something in that city particular and in that country as a whole. And we told him that that's the city that the Lord's called us to. Needless to say, more tears of joy came from him. And he said, Jennifer, I don't know how many more years I've got, but I promise you this, I will pray for you all fervently as an answer to prayer and for what the Lord's called you to do there. And every once in a while, the Lord will bring these little validations your way. We're grateful for those things. And we're grateful for those that will pray. When we were in May, before we went to Burma, we went up to northern Thailand for a little bit, in an area where a missionary, early 20th century, J.O. Frazier worked at. Some may have known of his book entitled Mountain Rain. He was far north Thailand, southern China, northern Burma. Missionary from England. He faced, his goal was to reach a people called the Lisu people. They were really worshipped spirits, we might say demons, and had little idols in their homes, to them little altars to appease them. And he faced some very serious spiritual warfare. And one thing that came through, that brought him through, he said, was this. He said, I had 10 prayer partners in England that I communicated regularly with, and they communicated back with me. He said it was a real communication, a real relationship with these 10 individuals. And he said, those 10 people and their prayers to the Lord and fighting spiritual warfare through the power of prayer were what gave me these victories that I've seen these many years in that work. And I see that, and I can't help but believe that the opportunity that we as church members have to not just support, but to be a partner with a missionary or two that the Lord lays on our heart, that they are going to, when we see their name, it's more than just a name. That name's going to live on our lips and live in our heart, and we are going to join with that missionary in the battle for souls and the spiritual warfare that is involved. I think that that is a worthy goal for all of us, to have someone that we share in prayer spiritual battles with. And it takes communication, and communication does go two ways. Certainly we understand that. But I think the victories that can be won or lost really are victories that are won or lost in our prayer life. And so let me encourage you with that. Myanmar is bordered or nearby the countries of India. There's a big Indian influence on Myanmar. There was a time not too many years ago when a lot of people from India were moved to Myanmar. China, of course, is very active, being just north of Myanmar, which is a country rich in natural resources. China is very active in wanting to influence and control and take as much of Myanmar's economy as they can. Bangladesh, and as well as Thailand. Buddhism dominates, but you'll find a mix of cultures and even religions. There's an oppressed Muslim minority in the western part of the country. There's a growing Chinese and Chinese-speaking population in the country as well. One city that we went to 3 years ago, is called Mandalay. It's about 8 hours north of the main city, the largest city, straight up the Irrawaddy River. You come to Mandalay, a little bit more modern city, 1 million people. When we were just there a few months ago, someone described Mandalay this way: it's difficult to get a job up there if you don't know Chinese. So that just gives you a little picture of the influx of Chinese and Chinese-speaking people in the country of Burma. 500,000 in that one city alone. There is a percentage of cultural Baptists throughout the country. This is unique among Southeast Asian countries. In this country, because of the labors of Judson and others that went with him, you can find Baptist churches. And at first, that's encouraging to say, wow, there's a Baptist church. There we go. There's a place that's fervently preaching the gospel. Well, have you ever in central Pennsylvania been by a Baptist church and said, they're Baptist in name, but not really in doctrine? That's the same situation as over in Burma. As we mentioned in the video, the national denomination, the American Baptist Convention, is the one that's behind most of those prominent Baptist churches, the big buildings that you would see today there. But the name Baptist, the concept of a Baptist, is not foreign to the country, which is unique. And then, of course, the large percentage of Burmese are Buddhists. All told, the country is home to 135 different people groups. Speaking with some the last couple days about their children that are called to the unreached people groups, Burma is filled with them, as well as a multitude of languages. As mentioned, the largest city is Yangon, home to over 8 million people and 45 regions. Each region represents hundreds of thousands of Buddhists who are living without hope in the one true God. Never even heard the name of Jesus. The future is unsettled right now for Burma. They hope to hold, the people hope that they hold fair and free elections soon. The dominating government now, the military that dominates the government, is in no rush to do that, because they fear and probably understand they would lose their power. So what's a prayer? Prayer would be that there could be free elections. It would be a miracle. God can do miracles. That there would be free elections and that freedom would return in some sense to the country. But if not, that the spirit of these faithful believers that we've met and many others would stay strong, even when the future for their country, for the foreseeable future, appears bleak. Circumstances, when they appear long-term not good, it can discourage. And so we're praying for the believers there to stay encouraged in the Lord and in the Lord's work. And as the church that we'll serve with for our first term, as we learn the language, has done, already sent out 5 or 6 young men to start independent Baptist churches in various cities around the country. We look forward to coming alongside and helping these young men, most of whom know English pretty well, and also training young men in the Bible Institute while we're there for our first term. So we will complete our work at Fairhaven, and finally, our final time there will be mid-May, and then begin a full schedule of meetings, Lord willing, scheduled through the end of 2023, and see where we're at, and we hope to get to Burma soon after that. The Lord's allowed us to have some meetings during the course of this school year, the first of which is right now, so again, thank you for this opportunity, and so we're praying that with that and then a full schedule that it won't be too long before we'll be able to get over there. We want to get there as soon as possible, and and work alongside Pastor Tong while we learn the language and assist in the ministry there. While there, we have a desire, I think, that comes from the years the Lord's allowed us to be work with young men in the college. We have a desire to facilitate young people or anybody to come over as possible to see mission fields in Southeast Asia, of course, primarily in Burma. We'd love to show them around in a safe way and see these churches that have raised up and are serving the Lord faithfully to witness, to evangelize, and then to see some of these wonderful Baptist history sites that Burma affords. And I think it would be a wonderful and inspiring time as well. So we hope to be able to facilitate that as well. Of course, to evangelize and offer the gospel of Christ to whoever it is that we come in contact with there, plant and grow churches as well. We'll be adding our information to a website called Good Tidings to All, goodtidingstoall.org. And we'll have our prayer letters on there, informational videos. Some of the videos we took when we were over in Burma we'll put on there as well. And as try to let our eye affect our heart through that. Good Tidings to All. We took that from Luke 2 when the angels gave the message at Christ's birth. At Christ's birth, isn't that interesting? A worldwide message of good news was proclaimed in the heavens the very day Christ was born. And the message was for all. I think from the start it was understood that the coming of Christ was meant to be for all men of all nations of all time. And so we pray that we will all be zealous in our Jerusalem. Jerusalem, we might think of you and I wherever we're at. Whoever we run into, that's our Jerusalem, our immediate surroundings. There's a lot of work to do in our Jerusalem, isn't there? Whether it be in our families, in our friends, in our co-workers, in the people that the Lord puts us with, our Jerusalem affords us much work and much labor. Jerusalem, Judea, the regions around us, Samaria, the people that we might have a little bit of a prejudice against, those Samaritans, not them, yes, them. Them, yes, them. The Lord demonstrated his love for the Samaritans when he spent time with the woman at the well, the Samaritans. And then the uttermost part of the earth, all done at the same time, all reaching each of those areas to the best of our abilities at the same time. It was 30 hours from the time we stepped out of our front door in May until we stepped into our hotel room in Bangkok. 30 hours. It was 5 months when Adoniram Judson stepped onto the ship heading for, at the time, India, before he stepped off of that ship. It is easier, practically speaking, it's easier than ever to go. When Judson died, 276 missionaries just to Burma had stepped onto that ship for a 5-month sea journey. We have but a 30-hour flight that, okay, maybe our legs get a little tired. Maybe the leg room isn't what it should be or could be versus 5 months. Let's take advantage of the opportunity that we have here in this stage of history to be active in Jerusalem, wherever we're at, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. Let's take advantage of the fact that it's easier than ever to travel. I'm not saying it's easy or missions is easy or that we should go without call and under the authority of a local church. I would just ask you to pray. I'd ask you to pray for your missionaries like you were their partner. I'd ask you to pray for the Lord to lead anyone that he wants to go wherever he wants to. The Bible gives us here, and I'm going to just read this here, Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24, near the end of this gospel. We have in verse 46, Luke 24, 46, "And he said unto them, Thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day." When we were there, we went to the Shwedagon Pagoda. The word Shwedagon has the idea of golden, the golden pagoda. It is worth some billions of dollars. Maybe more pagodas, Buddhist temples in Myanmar than any other country in all the world. And we saw people worshiping, praying to someone or something that is dead. In this verse, the Bible says, "Thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day. And that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations." Wow. Lord, allow us to do our part, to do what we can to reach all nations. Population is growing. May the burden to reach this world grow as well. May our priorities be structured in a way that what matters for eternity is obvious in our personal lives and to our children. May the Lord raise up another generation of spiritual soldiers who are zeroed in on the cause of the Lord and proclaiming a risen Savior to people that are hopeless without that. May he burn that in our hearts.
Thank you for joining us by way of the internet today. We're so glad that you were able to be with us, and we pray that the service was a blessing to your heart. Even though the sermon is over, our service is not over. At the end of our service, we give an opportunity for people to respond and come to an altar and pray over what God dealt with them about. Sometimes people come to call upon Christ and to be saved. Others come to make a decision for Christ regarding their Christian lives. Others come to call out to the Lord about special needs and situations in their lives. Maybe God has dealt with you today about some specific area of your life. I invite you to make an altar right there in your home, a quiet time before the Lord where you pray to him and respond to him about what he has spoken to you about. If you made a decision for the Lord today, we would be glad to hear about that decision and or answer any questions you have today about the message that was preached. You can contact us by way of email at info@mountziononline.org or by way of phone at 717-927-9227. Again, we thank you for joining us today, and we look forward to you joining us again for our live stream weekly on Sundays at 10:45 a.m. and on Sunday evenings at 6:45 p.m. If we can meet a need in your life, please do not hesitate to contact us. Thank you, and God bless you.